Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning. There we are. And welcome to Solve Our Minds. This is Sunday, and this day is going to be a little bit different than normal. I'm in the studio with Robert. He stayed over to help me out because my brother's hunting. At least that's the story he gave.
Yeah. That's what we heard.
Yeah, that's what we heard. And, of course, we have our good friend Bob, I should say, on the keyboards over there and producing everything and going to help us out. Oh, we're having... Sure. Difficulties. You're shutting me off over there, Bob.
No, you were still on.
Oh.
Anyway, thank you, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning. So, remember that we are streaming live at www.kcnr1460.com. You can join us in the chat room.
Yep.
And we got a bunch of different stuff going on. Fred Salati should be coming in here shortly. And we're going to be talking about Arlington and Missing in America Project. And then later on in the show, we have Janine Kloss with the Libertarian Party, and we're going to be talking about vaccines, SB 277, I believe it is.
Yeah, she's been working very diligently with a lot of groups trying to get that referendum started. Recently became the executive director of the Libertarian Party in California.
Yeah.
So
that should be good stuff. So we got a lot of different stuff. Don't forget that the Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview Destiny Fellowship. And I can't remember the lady's name.
Shelley Gibbs.
Shelley Gibbs. And she's from CareNet, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she is going to be talking about the new laws and regulations that they have to go through with abortion and stuff, even though that they don't do abortions in their clinic or anything, all the laws and regulations that good old California has come up with for them.
Yeah, and Uncle Jerry the depopulist, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we were actually touching on that a little bit on the last show, and some of the things that Jerry Brown believes and some of the things is the guy believes in genocide.
Imagine that.
And you say that to a lot of people, and they look at you like you're nuts. But I'm telling you, you go look at some of the things that he has had to say in the past and where he was. He was a very big fan of a book called The Population Bomb, where there was a lot of hype that there's going to be too much population, all the resources are going to be tapped, and everybody's going to die because we're using up everything.
Right.
We're killing the planet. And he, on several speeches that I have watched, has made the statements that he needed to reduce the population by millions of people. He laid out things where people need to be put into small, controllable areas and, the resources parceled out by a government that understands better. I mean, he didn't try to hide who he was at all. And it's as Bob was saying earlier, he just waited long enough for people to forget what he was and came back. And was quiet about it and kind of played the 50-50 Uncle Jerry, and now he's really kind of starting to show his colors.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with a lot of people. They forget real easily. I mean, I was gone out of California for almost 20 years, and I come back, and it's like we have an election, and then he gets elected again. It's like, really, folks?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe this one, you know?
Yeah, the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, you didn't learn the first go around, you had his father, and then you had him, and you didn't learn it on that one.
Well, he's weird too because you watch some of his stuff. I think Jerry had some serious daddy issues. because his dad got rich off of oil and things like that. And I think Jerry had a real serious problem with his dad.
Well,
so
it could be.
That's just my own armchair psychology from watching things and body language when he talks about his father and stuff like that. I don't think he liked the man.
I remember, you're right, because I'm remembering a quote from 1974 after Jerry got elected the first time. He told his dad, "You almost cost me the election."
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, that sounds about right.
And we were off to a flying start.
And it hasn't stopped since.
Yeah, it hasn't. And, you know, that's he's doubling down on everything that he's doing with the climate change. They recently just had to back off. They wanted to reduce the use of gasoline in the state by 50%. How do you do that?
Charge the people a lot of money?
Get rid of 50% of
the people?
Well, yeah. That's you know, I think if you look at it, you could make the reasonable argument that, you know, because we talk about how California's policy and everything wants to break the system and how it's destroying the economy. And everybody goes, well, what person in their right mind would do that?
And your point would be.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
maybe the plan really is to break the economy and drive everybody out.
Well, we know we got it in the school systems with Bill Gates. He made that, you know, right out there. He put that right out on the table to begin with the computers and all that mm-hmm. was his end result that he wanted,
yeah,
was to depopulate us.
Yeah, Bill Gates is another big depopulist.
Yeah.
They want us gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the funny thing is when you have the discussion with him, even if you were to engage with him and say, okay, you're right, there's only so many resources, we need to depopulate some of the people, who gets to stay? Well, strangely enough, they're always at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, why? What makes you at the top of the list?
Meanwhile, Uncle Jerry is inviting every illegal alien to come on in to the state of California. He's doing nothing to depopulate the state in that regard.
Well, somebody's got to do all the work for Uncle Jerry and his elitist friends after we're all gone. That's one of the things that drives me crazy with the whole illegal alien thing, is if they really cared about illegal aliens or really wanted the moral high ground, they'd be figuring out how to make them citizens. They wouldn't be creating second-class citizens. That, you know, when the government gives you your rights and your abilities, then they have the ability to take it away.
And we know that.
Yeah. It's,
history has shown that many times over.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, the illegal alien thing is probably one of my biggest sticking points, but not for the reason most people have, I don't think. You know, I don't hold it against the illegal alien for coming here. I don't blame them. If I lived in a rat hole like Nicaragua or Honduras and I could make my way to America and make a better life for my family, I would.
Well, yeah. Who wouldn't?
Yeah. I think I would be remiss as a husband or a father, as a person, not to try and get my family to the best place possible. My problem is with my government and the way that they're doing it, that they're breaking the system by keeping them illegals so that they can keep them beholden.
Yes.
I have a huge problem with that.
So, I have a quote for today, and then we'll go to a break. And the quote is, we always like to do it. Well, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irritated, tireless majority keen to set bushfires of freedom in the minds of men. Samuel Adams.
Yep.
So there you go. And with that, we'll go to a break, and hopefully Fred will be walking through the door here.
I think I heard him come in a second.
All right. Are we ready, Bob?
We are. You're listening to Sovereign Minds on AM 1460 KCNR, Community Talk Radio for the North State.
What? Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. These cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
For 24 years, we have celebrated, and now it's time for the 25th Reading Entria Stillwater Powwow, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Experience dancers, drummers, hand games, drum contests, as well as the history of our land. Proudly sponsored by the Reading Entria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The 25th Annual Reading Entria Stillwater Powwow 2015, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com.
Wellgate Sports Club invites you to their grand reopening gala on Saturday, September 26th, a day of food, fun, friendship, and fitness. From noon to 2 p.m. is open house with class demonstrations, live music, and refreshments. Take a guided tour of the Wellgate facilities. Experience five-star service, white-glove cleanliness, and high-end amenities and programs, including an indoor saltwater pool and state-of-the-art workout facility. From 5 to 8 p.m., you'll walk the red carpet and get your picture taken by paparazzi as you enjoy the Wellgate Sports Club evening gala in support of One Safe Place. Sample exquisite cuisine from several local area restaurants, as well as the finest North State beer and wine featuring Mosley Cellars. Enjoy live music by the pool featuring Bob and Andy Off the Charts, the Lindsay Thomas Band, or inside entertainment with DJ Bobette. The evening festivities include artists, door prizes, and a silent auction with all proceeds benefiting One Safe Place. Call 768-1205 and reserve your complimentary tickets today. And join us Saturday, September 26th at Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm all right. Nobody heard about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
And with that, we're back.
We are.
Yeah. And on the line, we have Fred Salanti. But before we get to him, and for the people out there that don't know, Fred Salanti founded Missing in America Project, I believe, back in 2006. And he's been a very busy man ever since then. And we just made a trip cross-country to Arlington and interned 6 veterans out back there, and it was one of the best trips of my life, and I know Fred was very touched by it. So with that, good morning, sir. How are you, Fred?
Oh, good morning to you, but you sound too chipper this morning, Linda.
That's
I'm
what
still
we,
beat up.
That's what you told me on the trip, too. You called me smiley when I popped in at 5 o'clock in the morning to have coffee with y'all.
Well, you know, there's never anything that you can say that can't cover the beauty of always a service in Arlington. You know, I think the fact that you drive through those hallowed grounds and you just go through those arches, and then when you look at the place, it just kind of overwhelms you with the depth of the veterans that are buried there, John Kennedy, Robert E. Lee's house, and that they took all of that land from him to bury Union soldiers in, as a punishment for him joining the Confederate Army versus the Union. But you look at this place that now has become the repository of not just famous generals and famous presidents and famous people. Arlington has evolved into a place now that inters people of all grades, branches, and it's an army-run cemetery, but everybody is welcome. And I think it was obvious, Linda, when you sat there and you look at the five different branches of service that were represented with the veterans that we brought, and all five honor guards, and all mm-hmm. five of those people coming respectfully to stand and salute and present arms and fold flags and carry veterans and common veterans, not somebody that's made a name. Every one of our six veterans were, none of them were above the rank of Spec 4, a specialist, an E4. And so we brought the average American to the hallowed ground of Arlington. And I just think, you know, we become overwhelmed with the beauty of that.
Yes, and as you well know, I didn't quite make it to in the gates of Arlington before I broke down.
Yeah.
No, on that one.
Something special, you know.
It is. It was very special. I kind of want to back up, you know, and talk about us getting started and leaving on the 23rd and kind of going across country with these veterans. I mean, we had a lot of problems. There were, let's not, you know, there was no getting around that. We had some breakdowns and had to do some repairs, but all in all, it was a good trip. But just like on the 23rd, when we left and we came into Susanville, and you want to touch on that a little bit?
Well, I just think that, you know, always the part of this trip, and I go back to say that, you know, a lot of years ago to an unfamous president, we always talked about the silent majority. And I think that when we do a trip like this and you start going for an honorable reason, we left Reading and it's only an hour and a half, or by the time with a stop about 2 hours to Susanville. But we left kind of unglamorously out of Reading, just lined up, sorted everybody out, and then left. But as we approached Susanville, I think the biggest shocker to all of us is as we drove over the top of the mountain where the brake check area is, there stood all of the National Guard in uniform with their vehicles standing at attention and salute. All of the Susanville police and other riders and Patriot Guard riders and everybody else from the group asked to come, and some met us at the stop. When you go through a town that has every block with flags up, people, kids, standing, saluting our veterans and our efforts, it's a breathtaking situation, as well as having them take us into the Walmart parking lot and serve a beautiful luncheon with barbecue sandwiches and pulled pork and just the attention and the honor and respect, I guess, is all I can say.
Yeah,
takes your breath away, Linda.
Yeah, it did take our breath away, and they were so supportive in Susanville. I was simply amazed, not only with the parade and blocking of the streets, and you know, the Army National Guard came out in those big vehicles, whatever they were, but they also showed support for what we were doing. And we had, was it the Gold Star Mothers that came to that, or the Blue Stars?
Yes.
It was the Gold Star Brothers.
It was a combination of both.
And they came out and was showing their support and helping us out at Susanville. And I was really touched by that. So
I just think you can't say too much about that. And You know, as people asked us where we were from, I had made a decision at Susanville. It was easy to always say we're from Reading, but if people said, where are you coming from? I said the great state of Jefferson.
There you go. Man after my own heart, you know?
And well, it's just this North State is that way.
It is.
It is. It's very nice. And so then we kept going across country, and, you know, the next stuff that I remember that really stuck out in my mind was in Tool, Utah, I believe it was, when the...
Tooele?
Tooele? Is that how you say it?
Tooele, Utah.
That's how you say it. Tooele.
Tooele. And we had the police meet us there. There was city police. There was a highway patrol. And the county sheriff, I do believe, there was about 30 of them, I think, 25 to 30 of them on motorcycles when we pulled in there. And they met us, and they took us on a trip around the city of Salt Lake City so we would not have to deal with the traffic. They took us on a scenic route all the way to our hotel. And that was very touching for a lot of us.
Well, you know, Linda, I didn't have that luxury because we had a vehicle that was broken down on the road. So I was behind you guys. So I had to go through that traffic. An hour and a half of bumper-to-bumper traffic you avoided. So thanks to the stars that the police were there to show you a shortcut.
Yeah, it was really nice. And, you know, as we were going through there, we went through several different sections. You know, you'd be out in the country, and then you were going through the residential area, and people were coming out of their houses, like you say, saluting us and everything else. And that was pretty touching there, just to see the average citizen out there. I'm not sure if it was a city or what, but they had, like, little housing developments, and they were coming out of their homes and greeting us and saluting us and waving at us and everything and giving us the thumbs up, which was, that was pretty cool.
It takes your breath away. And again, one thing I can emphasize is the first 3 or 4 days of the trip, because when we left Susanville, we went to Winnemucca and we were met there with people and met there with the POW MIA
Yep.
groups that took us all the way in through Utah, and that was who organized the part in Tooele and Salt Lake. And the West is just amazing. And I think we had that pretty much up to the Denver part, to Lyman, Colorado. And even at Denver, when you gassed, you had people coming from groups that had went 6-7 years ago with us that still came to meet you to talk and discuss, and I just always impressed as we leave the West how honorable it is and how people react.
Right, and with that, I think we'll go to a break, and then we'll pick up the story on the other side. If you want to call in and talk to us, have any questions or comments, please give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore. I'm sorry. Sometimes it hurts. Yeah.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Good choice, Bob, and that's the way it was for us going across the states. You know, we would pick people up, we would lose riders, we would pick vehicles up and we'd lose them. They would go as far as they could. Some would go 200-400 miles just to ride with us and then turn around and go back home.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And also when we were coming across there, like in Columbia, Missouri, the American Legion Hall put on a dinner. We actually, at that point, hadn't had a home-cooked meal or, you know, we had the hammers down pretty good, and it was nice. They actually welcomed us and escorted us in and gave us a real good home-cooked meal, didn't they, Fred?
It was wonderful, and, of course, that was a breath of fresh air, and I think it was excellent. People noticed, I noticed they stayed and lingered a little bit longer over seconds and stuff too, because they had plenty.
Yeah, they had a lot of food for us there, and some of them people were pretty hungry by the time we made it there, I'm sure.
Like
Yeah, we had hammered down pretty good. We did about, 400 miles a day?
As a rule, yes. You know, the last time I did people 520, 540, and I was accused of being a slave driver and had darts thrown in my back, so we added two extra days onto the trip so that we would keep it between 360 and 420 miles a day, and it worked a lot better this time.
Yeah, well, they don't call you lead butt for nothing.
That's still putting them down.
This man, I have to tell you something, this man can get on that bike and ride and ride and ride and then come back home and get right back on that bike if duty calls him and ride some more. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I think that it's catching up to me because I'm wondering some of that myself right now. That's a bad sign, Linda.
Well, let's hope not, because you got to keep riding and keep us all in line so we can keep doing these things. You know, moving forward on the trip, we got escorted into Covington. Well, it was actually Dumfries, wasn't it, that we got escorted into?
Yeah, we escorted into Dumfries, yes.
Yeah. And the people there, I just want us to talk a little bit about the people there at the Holiday Inn. Those people...
Now, is that right there at Covington, like by Kentucky, or...?
Covington... That was Kentucky. Covington was Kentucky. And those people were some of the most awesome people that helped us out and welcomed us and everything there at the Holiday Inn. Weren't they, Fred? They were great people back there.
Well, yes, and I had stayed there previously when I went out privately to revisit Isaiah Mays's headstone, and Susan had to go to D.C. to sign some medical papers that she had there. So we stayed there before, and I'm telling you, I just, even after everybody left, because we still had people broke down, I stayed an extra 2 days till everybody was fixed and on the road. And they were just still continuing to do everything, even for the extra days and the extra rooms we had to have, accommodating to the hill.
Yeah, they sure were. I know. Yeah, we jumped over to Maryland for a couple days and left the trailer there and came back, and there wasn't a bit of problem. Of course, we had to leave the Long Rider there for a couple more days, and that got picked up, and they were very accommodating for that. So, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better bunch of people out there. And they had such a great time taking rides on the Long Rider, too, around the parking lot.
Yeah, there's lots of pictures with you grinning from ear to ear.
Oh, there is. I haven't seen those. I haven't seen any pictures of myself. But, yeah, we had a good time. And, you know, they actually brought in a case, like a china cabinet, where we could place the veterans that we were taken to Arlington in, which was very nice of them.
Yeah,
I thought it was very nice through the whole stay with the motel and with the whole atmosphere, which also led up to going to the dinner the day after we got there as well on Monday night before the service.
Yeah.
Well, that's I have to imagine a pilgrimage like that's got to restore your faith. You know,
oh, yeah.
To a certain extent. When you see the support and the thing countrywide.
Well, yeah, that's what was amazing to me with the trip going across all the states. Everybody we ran into, no matter what truck stop we stopped at, where we got fuel, where we were having issues, broke down or whatever, people just stepped right up and helped us. I mean, there was, at some point, some of the repairs, I do believe they even donated some of their services or parts or something like that. Wasn't there, Fred?
Well, most of them, actually, when they heard what we were doing, as we had a number of incidents, were donating their labor. We pay for the parts, which is obvious, and they actually donated their labor. And some of that happened even on the return trip.
So, yeah, Red, it gave us, you know, gives you a lot of hope. And you can see the difference or the propaganda that's out there in the media that, you know, how people don't get along and this and that and the other thing. Another thing I want to put out there that actually Treva and I were able to get on motorcycles. I rode for about the last 1,000 miles. She did about 800. And I'll tell you what, folks, it's been a long time since I've been on a bike. But I'll tell you what, that sure touched my soul going across Kentucky on the back of a bike. It brought a new meaning to freedom.
I think that there is nobody that has ridden a bike that doesn't have the feeling that when you're stressed, things aren't the best. There is no better medicine than jumping on the bike and have the air flowing in front of you and clearing your mind and giving you maybe you're a little bit more hypervigilant and everything because you're watching for traffic and accidents, but there's just an inner high that calms you and makes you get clear-headed. And I think that's the biggest thing why most people ride and do it. It's just a different experience, and it's just something you have to do to see, get the feeling.
That's for sure. Because like I say, It's been a long time since I've been on a bike, and that helped me out. I know there was moments that both Treva and I, you know, got touched pretty good going through Kentucky and actually coming into Dumfries on the bikes. You didn't get the true experience of what we were doing in a car. And I know that sounds kind of funny, but, you know, I was always driving like the pickup vehicle if somebody broke down, especially, let's say, the Long Rider. When it had issues, you know, we pulled over and made sure that they were okay or whatever we had to do, whether we were hooking them up and towing them. And you're in the convoy and you're going across the states and you know what your mission is. But to get the true feeling of it, it made a big difference, I know, for myself when I got on that bike and we were going across. Then it really hit you what you were doing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know. And what our mission really was. And I have to put this out there. Fred always has been really good about this, is don't forget what our mission is. Put aside your emotions. Put aside to a certain degree, because we all know that he cries as much as I do. But we never lose sight of the mission. The mission was the most important thing, and we were going to accomplish it no matter what.
Well, I think you have to keep that target in mind, Linda. We all forget that sometimes when we're in a tight group and you're traveling for long distance, tempers get short. You don't like because somebody doesn't give you enough clearance or follows you too close on the bike or has a different idea the way things are done. And the problem is, it's not about who we are or what we have that's a problem to us. We're there for simply one thing only, and that's to pay the honor and respect for those six veterans that need to get to their final destination.
Yep. Is there something you wanted to say, Red?
Well, I was just saying this, you know, to me, the way that I would view it is it's a sacred pilgrimage in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the feeling and the emotion and then the culmination of the ceremony at Arlington. I mean, it had to be overwhelming.
It was. It was very overwhelming. It was also very overwhelming the day before or a couple days before when we went to the dinner and we went into the other cemetery. Missing in America Project has one plot in this cemetery. What's the name of the cemetery, Fred?
At Quantico?
At Quantico. Well, I can't remember that. I don't know.
Remember Marine.
Okay.
And that'll bring Quantico to mind.
Quantico. It's much like Arlington. All you see is white headstones. But Missing in America Project has one area, and we're going to have to get another area that is nothing but dedicated to people that Missing in America has found on funeral shelves and everything and been put in their final resting place. And that was a real touching moment, wasn't it, Fred?
Well, I had been there when they did the first ceremony there, and I think, as always, nothing can ever recap the first time you were there to watch it emotionally. One thing we forgot to mention, Linda, there's one thing that riding a bike does.
What's that?
It seems to open those tear ducts up a lot more.
I was trying to refrain from that.
It seems that on beautiful sunny days, it sure seems like it's raining a lot.
That first day that we actually got on the bike, now that you brought that up, I know, and Treva mentioned it too, you know, the first 10 minutes or so, you're a little nervous. It's been a long time since you've been on a bike, you know. And we weren't riding like with our partner or anything. These were just, well, she was at the head of the pack with Roger, which was the ride captain. And I was further back. But anyway, so, you know, it takes you a little bit to really get in the groove of what you're doing. And that morning, it was kind of patchy clouds out there. And at one point, the sun just came down and was shining through there. And that's when the light bulb came on in what we were doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, we probably better get off to our break and get in there. And then you know, after that, you guys could explain maybe a little bit more what Missing in Action does and how you actually find these people and the process to get them
we
home.
We sure can. We will do that. So if you want to call in and have a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community for the North State. Oops.
I never thought that this is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
Turtle Bay's 9th annual fall plant sale is Saturday, September 26th. Beauty doesn't have to be thirsty. Rethink your garden. Talk with plant experts and shop for drought-tolerant plants, California natives, hard-to-find perennials, grasses, shrubs, trees, and more. On September 26th, Turtle Bay members will get a 30% discount and 20% for non-members. Plus, free gardening advice will be available throughout the day. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hey, this is Carl Bott here to tell you about the good folks at Muse Concrete. Boyce and Joan Muse, along with their fantastic crew, have been bringing homes, parks, stadiums, and so much more to the Reading community for over three decades. Muse Concrete is also proud to bring exciting programs like high school football and Reading Colt 45s baseball to the airwaves right here on KCNR 1460. Muse Concrete, an uncompromising commitment to quality and integrity since 1982. Check them out online, museconcrete.com. Great people doing great work.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Bistar Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at bistarbank.com. Bistar Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Back once again, and before we went to the break, Red, you asked if we could kind of let people know what Missing in America project is. So Fred, you want to take the role on that one for me?
Okay, well, Missing in America started because we found that veterans were being what they call a direct delivery. Some veterans were being taken to the cemeteries, and especially VA cemeteries, and that had no family or no money or were indigent or homeless. And so I attended one of those services in Eagle Point, and they had 33 veterans that had been taken that way to the cemetery, and there was absolutely zero family, zero anybody there present. There was one chaplain from White City Domiciliary, and one person from Eagle Point Funeral, and myself. And we sent 33 veterans on their way virtually alone. And I felt that that wasn't the right thing to do, so I started gathering riders from around Medford Grants Pass area, and we started going to the services. I started calling to cemeteries in the 9 western states, and I came to Reno, Nevada, and they had just buried 34 veterans in a similar situation that they had found in a abandoned funeral home. Then I called Idaho, and Idaho had actually found 21 veterans and one spouse in different storage sheds and different other places, and they were getting ready to have a service. And Rich Sessler, the cemetery director there, had actually tried to get legislation in Idaho passed for veterans missing in America. And so I got with him, and we did the name to be Missing in America Project, and we worked then to get those first 22 people buried on November 9th of 2006. And then the story is just goes on from there. Basically, what we found is the mission became to go to funeral homes, crematoriums, and in some states they have vaults at cemeteries that haven't been buried because nobody's either paid money or many reasons why they didn't get put into the ground. And so we go in and inventory names of unclaimed people. We verify who's a veteran through the Department of Defense and NPRC, which is the National Personnel Records Center. Once they come back that say they have verified service, then we go to the funeral home and we organize a service at a VA cemetery. So that's the outline overall. To say that it doesn't take hard work and that it doesn't take I think in our 8 years of business now, we visited about 1,700 funeral homes. There's 23,000 in the United States. So to say that we haven't even started is an understatement. We've had people found in cars that were going to be hauled to the dump, and they look in this abandoned car. Another one was a motor home. These are right here in Northern California. And inside was an urn. We've had storage shed auctions, where they've auctioned off the contents of a storage unit, and when they get in there, they find an urn or they find a box of military records and medals and the urn. And in one case in Sacramento, We found out we were given an urn by the guy because the people that bought it were in there kind of scattering everything around, and he grabbed the urn. Come to find out, this guy had died and predeceased his wife. She had put him in the storage shed to bury him. When she passed, she then passed. Nobody knew she had a storage shed, so she never paid the rent, so it was taken. And then as we researched and found it, we ended up taking him not for a burial on his own. We took him to be buried where his wife was in San Joaquin Valley because they did recognize that she was the wife of a veteran. So I think one of the big things that people need to understand with Missing in America, we do veterans and dependents.
Yes.
And we always talk about veterans. But let me tell you, that wife that suffered through a guy's tour of duty, kept the kids together, kept the family together, kept that veteran together mentally and otherwise, is just as deserving as is if the veteran has a child that's autistic or medical problems and they're still being paid by the VA as a dependent. Every one of those are authorized a free burial at a veteran cemetery.
And
that's the basic nutshell, unless you have some more questions.
But no, I kind of want everybody to, you know, get a grasp of the scope of what you guys do to accomplish this mission.
And to let people know out there, there is a lot of people this involves, like Fred was talking about, to research. There's people all across the United States that helps with this. That goes in, and it takes them, sometimes it takes them a long time to actually dig up all the information on the individuals to find out what the story is behind them. So I believe we're not only across the United States, but we're international too, aren't we?
Well, we are international, yeah, and when I filed for the CFC, it's international because we have buried and interred British soldiers. And we have a number, I think about 6 or 8 Canadian soldiers we've dealt with. And so we have good relations with everywhere, and we have actually quite a lot of supporters in England that follow us and keep track and try to do some things there as well.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, how many has MIAP interred?
We've interred, I think about 2,400 would be the last count that I saw. We have about 2,600 identified. We're working on 11,000 names of people that are in funeral homes. And again, one funeral home gave us 4,000 names. As we get back east, I've had two other funeral homes give us 2,200 names. I think we cannot even grasp the scope that if you look at, we have 20-some thousand funeral homes to go to. And let's say each individual home has 100 people there, which is very minimal, as some of the totals I just mentioned. You can see the scope that we're not done.
Right. Fred, you're going to Fred, hang on. We're going to go to the top of the hour, and unfortunately, they will cut us off whether we like it or not.
No, I know they will.
Yep. So,
okay.
So hang on, sir, and we will pick this conversation up on the other side. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
More Sovereign Minds coming up on KCNR's Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Pope Francis made his first big public appearance in Cuba this morning. Thousands of people filled Havana's Revolution Plaza, where the Pope celebrated Mass. Meanwhile, the White House is allowing some controversial guests to attend the arrival ceremony for the Pope later this week.
Among those invited to attend are transgender activists, a gay Episcopal bishop, and an outspoken nun who wants changes to Catholic teachings on abortion and euthanasia. The Wall Street Journal reports that the Vatican has taken offense at the Obama administration's decision to invite these people. In response, White House spokesman Josh Earnest said there will be diversity among the estimated 15,000 guests, refusing to say if the president was trying to send a message. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Officials now say at least 1,400 homes have been destroyed by two Northern California wildfires. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection says damage assessment teams have counted 888 homes burned in Lake County. They're getting access to affected areas as firefighters make progress, and the count is far from over. The U.S. and Russia now attacking ISIS in Syria, Connie Lawn reports.
The U.S. is bombing ISIS terrorists when it can find them in Syria, Iran, and Iraq. Russia may soon add to the bombing in Syria, but it is doing so to keep Syrian leader Assad in power. The U.S. wants him out. The U.S. and Russian defense chiefs held a 15-minute phone conversation. Apparently, both nations will go ahead with their bombing campaigns and hope they will not get in each other's way. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
The nation's largest Muslim advocacy group says lawmakers from across the political spectrum should repudiate Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson. He told NBC-TV's Meet the Press program that a Muslim should never be president. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-801-4500. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results. Guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-801-4500. 800-801-4500. That's 800-801-4500.
Iranian state television is reporting that United Nations nuclear chief Yukiya Amano has arrived in Tehran to, quote, clarify past and current issues of the country's nuclear program. TV footage showed Amano and his team arriving in Tehran this morning. It's his second visit in 3 months. Iran and world powers have agreed to a landmark deal that curbs Iranian nuclear ambitions in return for the lifting of international economic sanctions. Amano, during his visit to Tehran, will apparently attend a meeting of special parliamentary committees that's reviewing the nuclear deal. A Philippine sultan whose armed forces invaded a vast Malaysian region in 2013 and sparked a deadly security crisis has died of kidney failure. Sultan Ismail Kiram II died today at the age of 76 in a hospital. According to a spokesman, he left an order for his sultanate to pursue a claim to Sabah State in neighboring Malaysia. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Fiat Chrysler is apologizing for a big recall. They're pulling back 27,000-plus Dodge Darts because the small car's transmissions can unexpectedly shift into neutral.
The recall affects Dodge Darts from the 2013 to 2015 model years with dual dry-clutch transmissions. The company is not aware of any accidents or injuries caused by the defect. FCA says a mounting bracket can disrupt a circuit board in the transmission control module and shift the vehicle into neutral. The engine remains on, and the airbags as well as other safety features aren't affected. The dashboard warning light may illuminate if the problem is present.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, September the 20th, the 263rd day of 2015. There are 102 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1519, Portuguese explorer Ferdinand Magellan and his crew set out from Spain to find a passage to the Spice Islands. More details at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
things were fit up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American. That's what I am.
And we're in the another hour of Sovereign Minds.
We are. We've made it through the first one.
Yeah, we're clicking right along. And we still have Fred Salanti with Missing in America Project on the line, don't we? Are you still there, Fred?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, still here.
Before we move on to some other things, is there anything else you'd like to say about Missing in America Project? Our mission statement, our mission and what we do and the volunteers and collecting the information.
And how do people get involved if they want to help?
Well, if they want to get involved, first of all, they should go to our website, which is www.miap.us. When you look at that website, you'll see that we're so transparent. We've posted every financial, every SOP. Everything we do is on that website, everything. And so that's the first place to start to see if you like. And then at that point, there's a place that says supporters. And if you want to be a supporter, you click it, fill in the information, and that then puts you on our database to get mailings and other things. And then secondly, if you really want to see that you like this and want to help, then you need to send an email to myself that's on that website as well. We then move you up from supporter to volunteer, and that puts you in the active category to physically work and help and be on the list. We put everybody on that way because they are then covered with insurance and other items, so that when you go to a funeral home or go to a county, they can look up and see that you're on the list as a legal volunteer to ask them questions. Otherwise, you're dealing with people's privacy statements and lots of legal concerns. So that's the first step, how to get a hold of us, or they can call me at 530-226-9900 is the office phone.
Yeah, and just to let people know out there, if you want to come out and help support us and all that, one, there is no dues. There's no reporting. You don't have to fill out paperwork and do all of that like a lot of these organizations. And two, you don't have to ride a motorcycle. You don't have to own a motorcycle. And you can. There's many ways to help out and still join in.
So, people researching, what do? You assign them, individual cases to research and look into and collect information, or?
Yeah, we use lots of things like Ancestry.com, the Mormon database, and we have two or three other sites. We used to be able to use the Social Security Index that they've now shut us to use. But we have lots of things that we spend, and I think Linda said it right a while ago. It sometimes takes us 18 months or 2 years in some cases to get people verified to do this. To get everybody approved to go to Arlington, we started in October last year, and we just got done to take them the 1st of September. So some of this is pretty instant if they have a DD-214 and we know their stuff. But sometimes it takes years, year and a half, 2 years to investigate people's background, see if there's any other relatives, and get people cleared.
Well, that's I can imagine for people that are researching cases like that, there becomes a real sense of ownership.
Yes.
of those individual veterans, and I can imagine that it becomes almost like a surrogate family.
It is exactly that, and of course that's exactly what we become, because when you look around and only Missing in America or other people that come support us, we are the only family there, and so there is a collective agreement. We may not have known a whole lot, but we do know what we do know, and we do have his military information or hers, and there is a very possessive portion of this that I think the understatement is that is why we have so much pride when we do things. That's why it's so emotional when we do things. It's because that some of our heart went into everything to make this happen.
Yeah,
that's. I can imagine after 2 years of researching someone, it's almost like you know them.
Yeah, sometimes the person that has done the research, they are the one that wants to carry the remains and everything, which is totally understandable. One in particular comes to mind is, I believe he was from the Civil War. She had tracked him down. got all the information.
Wow.
And, yeah, she felt that it was her job, and she had been the surrogate family, as you guys put it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine there's a strong sense of duty to that.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Yeah. In many ways, over and over again, right, sir?
Well, you know, yes, that is. But, you know, everybody is a little bit different. Everybody has a little bit different story, and everybody is unique in each. And that's why we write down SOPs and procedures to do, but everything has to be done virtually case by case, because that's how it happens. There's a different circumstance or a different law that comes in, and of course we're dealing with 50 states with 50 state laws. We now have 33 states that have passed laws plus a federal law that helps us to do things so that we're liability free for being able to get access to privacy information on their health and Social Security records and other records if the VA needs that particular piece of information.
Right. Before we move on to what else Missing in America Project does and what we got coming up, two questions for you. I've had people ask, when are you going to Arlington again? Because they would like to join in. And also, if they have a family member that they would like to see if they could be placed at Arlington, what they need to do.
Well, I'll answer both of those, but I'll do it in reverse order.
Okay.
I think I mentioned earlier in the program that Arlington had changed lots of rules on how they do things. When we went 6 years ago, you have to, the original rules, which are still the basic rules to get into Arlington for an in-ground burial, which means taking space in the ground. In order to do that, you have to have a Silver Star or above. They will make exceptions for certain people as long as they got a Purple Heart or did something very exclusive in the Army. But it's very selective. You don't just pop up with any family member and say, do it. Up until 2 years ago. 2 years ago, Arlington opened up a brand new 20,000 wall columbarium. And when they opened that wall, the Department of Defense called MIAP and said, we're going to open this 20,000 wall. We want the first people buried there to be Missing in America people to symbolize that there's a change in the rules at Arlington, too. And so we provided them originally five veterans, but we found that one of the Civil War veterans that we had a brother. And one was an Army officer, and one was a specialist. And so we asked them not to bring five veterans, but to bring six. And so we brought six, with the two brothers being buried. Mm-hmm. And what that went to show was that Arlington had dropped the requirements for Silver Star and other items to say that in their columbarium wall for above-ground burial, any veteran is eligible. There are certain criteria that they have. Again, 8 months for us to get these last people done. So even if I started today, the next ride to Arlington wouldn't be for a year. But we don't just go to Arlington to just go to Arlington. I think you'll find that we went the first time because we had two Silver Stars, one from Cottonwood, one from Sacramento. And then we went and picked up and had a federal court order to disinter Isaiah Mays, the Medal of Honor recipient in Arizona, because he was in a tuberculosis and a garbage dump. And so that wasn't right. So we did that. What kicked us off this time was we had Richard Pinsack from Eureka, who is a professor at Humboldt State and College of the Redwoods. And he won a Silver Star in the Oshawa Valley, saving his friend in Vietnam. And so once we had him in possession, and we had first intended to bury him here at IGO, then the thought was, we have somebody that does completely qualify for Arlington. So we started putting the trip together and then looked for other veterans that were qualified under the new rules that could go as well. So So I don't just dream up trips to say, gee, it's time to go, or every year we're going to do an annual. It takes the proper person and the proper qualifications to let us start.
And not only that, it takes, you do a lot of work, but it also takes funding. And it's not cheap. I saw some of those hotel bills that when we were going across and other things. There's a lot of stuff that goes in to making the trip to make sure that the mission is successful and that we are able to get them into Arlington. So
a lot.
I know you work very hard up to the last minute on this last mission. So we never know.
Is there a last minute? I'm still working hard.
That's true. You have a lot of paperwork to do on this. So, you know, some people donate money and other items in order for it to be carried out. But it is a long process, like we talked about earlier, not only from the time of finding who it is, but putting it all together so that they can go to Arlington.
Yeah,
there's a lot there. So I think we have to go to a break. And then when we come back, I know we got some different events that are coming up that I don't think people realize that we do other things with Missing in America Project. And maybe you can tell us what those events are, Fred, when we get back from the break. If you want to call.
It's ringing in my ears. I'm the one to relate to. Sad to see. Who can I believe in? I'm needing on the floor. Let's be a force. Who do I call? The stars.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
For 24 years, we have celebrated, and now it's time for the 25th Red and Andrea Stillwater Powwow, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Experience dancers, drummers, hand games, drum contests, as well as the history of our land. Proudly sponsored by the Red and Andrea and Wind River Resort and Casino. The 25th Annual Red and Andrea Stillwater Powwow 2015, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your deliveries. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchard. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic Street Revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
It looks like a road that you travel on. When there's one day in, the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand. Sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside the dark and cold, where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave heart free and lovers soar, come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate, break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Life is a highway, I won't ride it all night long. If you're going my way, I won't drive it all night long.
Red's rocking out over there to that one. He's really enjoying that song.
Good memories.
Yeah, well, we're back. And before we let you go, Fred, tell us some of the events we got coming up with Missing in America Project in the few months, next few months, if you would.
Okay, well, the immediate one's coming up because we won't get into too long a list, but you got to give me a high sign with about a minute before you're going to cut me off so I can say one last thing too, Linda.
What's that?
Just a heads up. Well, no, not now. I'll tell it after we do the visit, but just before we get to the
end. Sorry about that.
I think we got the first thing coming up is we're doing a combined dinner with MIAP, Walmart Heart, and the Veterans Resource Center, VRC, and we're doing this for Big Bike Weekend, and it's being done at the Veterans Home. And so all of the people that are riding on the Remembrance Ride, some 350, 400 bikes, will all meet at the Veterans Home and put on like a bike show. And then we will feed not only the bikers but all the residents. And we will have this out in the front of the Veterans Home. And it'll be just a very nice setup and dinner and organization. Then from there we move on. On November 20th, we're going back again to do some stuff with the veterans at the Veterans Home and do a dinner for another event. And, of course, our annual big event is the Servicemen's Feast in December, and it's the Saturday before Christmas. And we always do that and serve everybody that wants to come down and eat while they're Christmas shopping and doing stuff. And so those are the major events, Linda.
Yeah, and also in there, do we have the toy run this year?
Pardon me?
Are we doing the toy run again this year?
Oh, yes. We always have. Yeah, forgot about that. Yes, we always have the toy run from Anderson, and then we do the when the toys are all picked up and collected from that event, then on the day after our Servicemen's Feast, we take them from Kmart to One Safe Place.
Yeah, and that we get quite a few bikes on that one as well.
Well, on the toy run, there's been up to 650 bikes carrying toys.
Yeah. We do a great job with that. Everybody pitches in on that. And, the Servicemen's Feast is always a good one. We pitch in and do most, well, we do some of the cooking, but the whole community gets involved in that one because we put it out there, and we're always looking for cookers to help cook the turkeys. So it becomes more of a community involvement, not just Missing in America Project and Walmart Heart, which is really nice to see everybody pitch in and help out, because otherwise we have a lot of turkeys to cook. I don't know how we would do it without the community.
The only thing that makes that a success, Linda, is that we hand out 60 turkeys to 60 different people, and they cook it, slice it, bring it back to us, and then you guys serve it, and it's the only way it can work to do that, plus the 20 hams we're cooking out on the back.
Yeah. Mike's always cooking out there on the barbecue, big time out there, so. So, is there anything else you want to say, because we're getting close to the bottom of the hour. I know that there's probably something more you want to put out there, so go ahead, sir, do it.
Well, I wanted to save this so that we weren't putting a damper on anything with the conversation. But for those of you that know, We did the Arlington trip. It was a wonderful mission to take the six veterans about 18 miles from Dumfries to turn off to finish our trip. We're talking 3,000 some miles on the road and 18 miles from the finish line. One of our riders took the time to stop and take some pictures. We were in a massive police escort with about 20 police vehicles escorting us the last miles into town, and he stopped and took pictures, and then as he proceeded to come and catch up, the vehicle in front of him put on the brakes, and he ended up rear-ending and having serious brain damage and died Monday night of this week.
Yeah. Bill Henry.
So that's the sad part of the trip.
Yeah. It was very sad.
Wow.
So not everything you plan and everything you do, and no matter how much work you can put into everything, sometimes when you feel the safest is when the worst happens.
Unfortunately, yes. And our thoughts and prayers go out to his family and to let them know if there is anything that we can do to help them, we will.
Yes, we have done that. And, of course, he was the Nebraska MIAP state coordinator, so it's a big loss for us, too.
Yeah, there's not really any words for that, is there?
No, there's not.
And I one last thing to that. They're picking him up from the funeral home to take back to Nebraska next week early. And the first thing they're doing is driving the 18 miles that he missed to take him to Arlington.
I'm sorry, but we can't say too much on this end because we're both crying at this point.
Yes. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, sir, for joining us today.
Okay, man.
And maybe we'll just...
maybe just get off to the break, Humboldt.
Yeah. And with that, I think we'll go to a break.
U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
From simple line-drawn cartoons to 3D modeling used in today's movies, explore the entertaining worlds of animation at Get Animated, only at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Do you love Steamboat Willie or Toothless the Dragon? Learn the stories behind some of your favorite animated characters. Take a photo with Po the Panda, or try your hand at animation techniques used by Disney, DreamWorks, Sony, and more. Get Animated is presented by Redding Kia Subaru. Visit turtlebay.org for park hours and information. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes, and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
Fall is just around the corner, and if you're looking for that special gift or a wardrobe fix,
Dandelion is your destination. Located at 1322 Pine Street, walk into the all-new and expanded Dandelion Boutique, and you'll discover the largest selection of Brighton in the North State. Every day, there are new arrivals with the latest styles and colors. Let one of the gals at Dandelion help you select what's right for your body type. Friendly, always fashionable, Dandelion. Open 10 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 10 to 5 on Saturday.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay and neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
Turtle Bay's 9th annual fall plant sale is Saturday, September 26th. Beauty doesn't have to be thirsty. Rethink your garden. Talk with plant experts and shop for drought-tolerant plants, California natives, hard-to-find perennials, grasses, shrubs, trees, and more. On September 26th, Turtle Bay members will get a 30% discount and 20% for non-members. Plus, free gardening advice will be available throughout the day. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
And we're back.
We are.
That was a tough last few minutes on that
one.
Yeah,
it was a hard last segment.
Yeah, it was. But I want to thank Mr. Salanti again for coming on and being with us and sharing it. And I want to thank everybody out there that helped support me and Missing in America Project to go back to Arlington. It was a life-changing experience, let me say that.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So with that, now we're moving on to a whole different subject. We're changing gears big time, and we are going to start talking about our children and our health.
Yep.
And vaccines and, oh, just all kinds of things.
And where does the intrusion of the state into our lives end?
We will be hitting upon that. And we have Janine Kloss on the line, I do believe. Janine, are you with us this morning?
I am. It's so nice to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Can you give us a little bit of background about yourself before we get started here?
Sure. I actually was an auditor with the state of California, and I got a little peek into the political world, and I became very concerned, especially with health issues and why our government was concerned about what kind of medical care we received and why they were invested in us receiving certain kinds of medical care. And I ended up transforming that interest into a career in politics. I work with the Libertarian Party, and I work with the Foundation for Harmony and Prosperity, and we're fighting for a cultural change, a return to sort of libertarianism in the United States. We started out that way, and we've ventured far from it. So that's what I do. And today I'm down in sunny Anaheim for the GOP convention. There's a Republican Liberty Caucus here that we work with. And we're also down here for the United We Stand event that's put on by Free and Equal.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning and helping us get educated more onto what's going on with the health issues.
Yeah, so you're down there in the zoo itself, huh?
I feel like I'm in the belly of the beast. And I'm kind of an outsider because I run the Libertarian Party. I'm the executive director for the state Libertarian Party here in California. And I'm openly libertarian. I walk around wearing a pin that says I am libertarian. And, you know, my roots are in Siskiyou County, so I'm also, you know, promoting the state of Jefferson. And so
well, you got a couple strikes there on you.
In their world. I'm sorry?
You got a couple strikes going for you down there, don't
yeah.
you?
A Jefferson libertarian. I bet you're real popular down there.
Getting a
no,
lot of...
these are marks of pride that I wear proudly.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, and that's, I remember that... Remember that you're from Siskiyou County originally, correct?
Wow.
Yes, that's correct. I was raised in Montague, and I went to school in Wairika, so I'm, yeah, born and raised, and then I came down here to Sacramento when I graduated from high school.
Well, that explains why you got a good head on your shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I tell people. I'm like, you know, when you're raised up there, you kind of get these core values because, you know, people aren't necessarily looking for the government to run their lives because the government's largely absent up there in a lot of ways. So people carry guns and they take care of their properties and that's the culture. So nobody's looking for, you know, the government to swoop in and save them. I know that there's other issues up there that I would love to help with, but for those things, they were ingrained in me. And so when I came down here, I was kind of shocked at the environment, especially working for the state. So.
It is. It's almost like two worlds. Up here, when the government shows up, oftentimes it's seen as intrusive by the locals.
Right, right. Well, and they're trying to get people to move off their land. My grandparents have lived on their land for a very long time, and they're, you know, my great-grandmother owned that land before that, and now all of a sudden these water right issues are coming up, and yeah. I'm thinking, you know, we've had those water rights in the family for so many years. How can you come in and then force a $20,000, you know, license to access this? This is not acceptable. But people are not represented in that area. So even their representatives, the few that they have, aren't even standing up for some of these issues. And it's very disturbing to me because I work down here with lots and lots of politicians, and I see, you know, they're beholden to the people in the areas that they live in because they're consolidated areas with lots and lots of people. And if they don't do it, they'll get out. Here, it's like a huge geographic area, and there's so few representatives that they kind of get away with whatever they want.
There's a lot of truth to that. And, you know, some of the question is excuse me, when you cover an area and you have to represent 11 different counties, for one example, how do you balance that when some of the counties that you represent may be even opposed to each other's interests because it's
yes,
such a large area. How do you balance that?
Exactly. And that's why the way that the state of Jefferson is being handled is through the understanding that first you must petition your government and say that you are not being represented. And so that's step one. And then when you are ignored, you can prove that you were not represented.
Pretty
and
easily.
And if it's my understanding yeah. that when the group went in and petitioned their government and told them they were not being represented, they were ignored. And so that's been taken
yep.
care of. And now the movement goes forward on solid legal ground that they are not being represented.
That's correct. We actually still have some declarations coming in. Trinity County is actually just going by a declaration of the people. They've got signatures of representing 51% of the people that voted in the last gubernatorial election. And Trinity County is moving ahead with a direct declaration of the people. And we expect within another few short months here, we'll have counties 10 and 11. And with the process moving the way it is in El Dorado County, we're looking at county 12. And then just yesterday, we had a group that's gotten together between Amador, Calaveras, and Tuolumne County, that all three counties have gotten together in a solid council and asked us to come and speak to them and say, hey, how do we do this? We want out too.
It's so fantastic. I am loving every minute of it, because I remember when this started and it was like, are we going to be able to get, you know, even a couple counties? And now it's just a force to be reckoned with, and I love to see it. The representation in California is so far off. There's no way these representatives can properly represent their area with the volume of people that they're expected to service. There's no way. The numbers are so skewed. And if you guys have ever talked to Michael Warnken, he can tell you everything there is to know about representation. I don't have all the numbers rolling in my head. I just know that we are so far off from reality that it's not a wonder that, you know, money runs politics in California. It's the only way that it's viable at these ratios.
Yeah, our voter dilution is the worst in the country by far. I think we're almost 200% of the next worst state for voter
yes.
dilution. You know, our per vote compared to what it used to be is a fraction that's so small most people wouldn't even count out that far. It's ridiculous.
We don't have a hope to win over these politicians because they're paid so much. So what we are doing is we're finding citizen candidates that will stand up and participate in the system because it's the right thing to do and not because they're getting money from a special interest group to serve the community.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're doing ourselves is we've got several candidates now that are looking at running at city council. They're going to be running for board of supervisors. Mm-hmm. And we'll be announcing the name of the candidate next week that will actually be running for Senate District 1 here in California, and that will be a grassroots campaign, and we're going to win. That's
I can't wait. You guys
got
to let me know when you announce the name.
Absolutely, we'll do. We'll be doing that on the air with the candidate himself on Jefferson State of Mind next weekend at Sunday, 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll probably have him on about 8:30. But for the announcement.
Fantastic.
But yeah, we're really excited. We think it should be kind of an easy campaign because up north, our representative now is Ted Gaines, and north of his tennis court that he hangs out on, there's two kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's two people, they either don't know who he is or they can't stand him. So we're really looking forward to it. But his again, you know, as Janine was talking about, the power base, he represents the eastern half of Sacramento up into the hills all the way to the Oregon border. How do you do that? You know,
how do you balance those needs?
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, especially when the southern edge of your district is diametrically opposed to the northern end of your district.
When he's actually rather conservative for California, which is probably because of the geographic layout, I will say I was very happily surprised when he stood up and he shared his story on the Senate floor of what happened to his child when they had issues with vaccinations. And the fact that he was even brave enough to say that in the climate was a little bit surprising for me. I'm glad that he did do that. I know there are issues, you know, we all have different things, but on this particular issue, I was really shocked that he shared that, and I was just disgusted that people did not take that into consideration. I can't even believe having a, you know, a fellow colleague share something like that with you and have it have no impact on your thought process, and that's when you know people are bought and paid for.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that we really wanted to get into with you is the vaccination thing.
Yep.
And what's going on, because there is no better example than the absolute defiance of the will of the people by our government here in California than this vaccine thing. We do have to sneak off to our break here, but I would love to dive into that on the other side.
All right. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Kayla, and they call me the Mouth.
And I'm Red. They call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Wellgate Sports Club invites you to their grand reopening gala on Saturday, September 26th. A day of food, fun, friendship, and fitness. From noon to 2 p.m. is open house with class demonstrations, live music, and refreshments. Take a guided tour of the Wellgate facilities. Experience five-star service, white glove cleanliness, and high-end amenities and programs, including an indoor saltwater pool and state-of-the-art workout facility. From 5 to 8 p.m., you'll walk the red carpet and get your picture taken by paparazzi as you enjoy the Wellgate Sports Club Evening Gala in support of One Safe Place. Sample exquisite cuisine from several local area restaurants, as well as the finest North State beer and wine featuring Mosley Cellars. Enjoy live music by the pool featuring Bob and Andy Off the Charts, the Lindsay Thomas Band, or inside entertainment with DJ Bobette. The evening festivities include artists, door prizes, and a silent auction with all proceeds benefiting One Safe Place. Call 768-1205 and reserve your complimentary tickets today. And join us Saturday, September 26th at Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
From the exquisite artistry of the Moscow Ballet's world-class Russian dancers to the phenomenon of Blue Man Group, the Reading Civic Auditorium is showcasing some serious wow. The 15-16 theatrical season gives stage to the critically acclaimed and includes a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows. The season hails the Moscow Ballet's breathtaking return of the great Russian Nutcracker the Friday evening after Thanksgiving. The festive Christmas fantasy continues with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas show and stunning debut of the Reading Civic's very own production of a favorite classic, Christmas Carol, A Love Story. 2016 soars to new heights with the pop culture phenomenon Flashdance the Musical. The devilishly enthralling theatrical production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, the wildly popular Blue Man Group, and astonishing family entertainment of Chris Morandi's Stunt Dog Experience. For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
Discover the new Kia at Reading Kia and get 0% financing for up to 66 months on all new 2015 Kia models. Plus KMF bonus cash.
0% plus 1500 KMF bonus cash on the 2015 Optima.
0% plus 1500 KMF bonus cash on the 2015 Forte.
0% plus 1000 KMF bonus cash on the 2015 Soul.
And 0% and 750 KMF bonus cash on the all new 2016 Sorento.
And the 2015 Kia Soul and Sorento are highest-ranked compact MPV and midsize SUV. For J.D. Power award information, go to jdpower.com.
Every new Kia purchase comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes.
Discover the new Kia today at Reading Kia. On approval of credit plus tax license and dealer documentation charges, any government fees, any emission testing charges, subject to prior sale, ends 11-2-2015.
Discover the new Kia, Reading Kia, Cypress Avenue, ReadingKia.com.
Reading Kia is open 7 days a week. ReadingKia.com.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And we're back.
We are. Little Edgar Winter.
Yeah. We just been jamming all over the place today.
Yeah, good stuff. Huh?
Yeah, with good stuff. So, before we went to the break, we brought up that we're going to start talking about vaccines.
Yes.
With Janine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions going on with this vaccine bill.
Yeah. And that's we've actually had Tim Donnelly on, former Representative of California, and he's spoken about it. And we've been following this pretty heavy. And, Janine, I know that you are all over this with SB 277. You want to explain that to the people a little bit?
Sure. I've been involved with this issue since AB 2109, where they passed a law that you have to have a doctor say that they've adequately explained vaccines to you before you can sign an exemption waiver. So I've been dealing with this for a long time. I remember standing in the halls then, and we had moms with their babies on one side and, you know, med students on the other, all thousands of people in the hallways just in a riot over this issue. Then all of a sudden, you know, fast forward to the beginning of this year, they start, you know, going heavy on, now all of a sudden we're going to mandate vaccinations. So the statements that came out during AB 2109 was, oh, we just want to make sure people are informed. And now it's like, you don't have a right to be informed anymore. This is mandated. This is what we're doing. And the way that they did it was, I would say, well, the article to the, or the headline to the article I wrote was, when in doubt, cheat. So they weren't getting a fast enough response, so they just started cheating. So they passed the education committee, and then they turned around and they amended the bill to state that the educators were responsible for enforcing this bill, and then they removed it from appropriations. So in other words, it's another unfunded mandate in some ways. So we're watching this whole thing play out, and we get to the point where you know, the Assembly and the Senate had passed it, and as a huge slap in the face, the governor comes in and signs it the same day, and everybody just fell apart at that point. And then here comes Tim, and he's like, don't worry, we got this, we're going to run this referendum, and we've got, you know, this amount of days, okay? All I'm going to tell you is it's not enough days, but... And we only need to get 380,000 verified signatures or something crazy like that. And he calls me up and asks me if I'll run Sacramento. And of course, you know, no question, I agreed to do it immediately. And from that day forward, we've been working day and night. We've had teams running 4 to 6 events every single day. We've had people collecting in all the darndest places. You couldn't even imagine. Last night, our team was out until about 3 in the morning in Sacramento collecting signatures, and the numbers of signatures are just rolling in. I've got photos of stacks and stacks, and those stacks, each paper represents the possibility of 14 signatures. So that's the wild ride in a nutshell.
That's fantastic. I know a lot of people up here in the north that have been working very feverishly and collecting signatures. The local coordinator up here, Melody Fowler, is a good friend of ours. She's been working feverishly. And one of the things that I have seen is it has gotten people that I know who I would never in a million years would imagine would get involved to the point of actually doing anything, that are up off the couch, that are working very, very hard at getting this done. And it's not only awakened them to this, but it's gotten them to start looking around at some of the other things going on, going, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it's been fantastic.
So. Yeah, to bring the people together.
It was actually, it's horrible. I am in, you know, personal crisis with my kids because of this bill. But honestly, they were so egregious and so unthoughtful about the way they crafted this bill that we have an argument for just about any person. They are offending so many people that we have a spectrum, an unbelievable spectrum to tap into and to activate in the political system. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, that's we've seen that up here too. It's everybody.
I was going to say, that would be everybody that's alive. is got to be offended somehow with this bill.
Yeah, they
right.
They managed to give the finger to just about everybody in California.
Yeah.
It was a bold move.
Well, I think what they were counting on is that they were going to use the usual tactics of getting the people arguing about the symptoms instead of the problem itself, because they made a very big push, and you saw the trolls out on the internet, and you saw the conversations coming from government about, oh, well, if you don't vaccinate, you're going to harm our kids. Oh, vaccines are safe. They tried to deflect the argument about vaccines itself, and nobody bought it this time. Nobody
right.
nobody fell for the bait, and they kept it on task of, it's not a question of whether I believe in vaccines or not. It's a question of whether I should have the right to make that choice for my kids. And I think they fell really, really flat and misplayed their hand on that pretty bad.
Yes, and I love it. I love that they did that, because had they used any iota of intellect on this one, it would have been very difficult to fight against. But we're going out, and we've got an argument for everyone. One of the things that, I go out in, a suit jacket and, dress clothes, because that's how I dress for work, and I'm always running from one thing to the next. So when I go out to table, that's usually what I'm wearing. And so they see me and they're like, okay, well, this is, somebody who works in the professional world. I'm not wearing tie-dye. I'm not, not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's just not what I'm able to do at the time. And so then I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, here's how this bill affects us. My child, who has challenges with receiving vaccinations, is no longer capable of going to his private school. Well, theoretically, with this bill, I'm saying we're going to get it out. But theoretically, with this bill, he's no longer capable of attending his private school that I pay for, because his doctors and his parents chose to change the schedule to meet his medical needs.
Yeah.
That's how tight this law is written. It doesn't make sense for normal people. Yes, they can adjust it over time, but what happens to my child today who needs mm-hmm. to go to school?
Exactly. And there's, I've got a couple of stories about some things like that, too, that have gone on up here and some other things. They're going to cut us off in about 60 seconds. We go to a hard break at the hour for the news, come hell or high water.
Whether we like it or not.
Yeah. So if we can keep you on through that, and would love to discuss a couple of these things a little bit more, because, as you said, there is no leeway in this law. And some of the conflicts of interest that it's causing for parents and even school personnel and some of the things that are going on are just egregious and absolutely completely wrong.
Right. So if you want to call in after the top of the hour, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North Slope.
Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like the dude of man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' on.
More Sovereign Minds coming your way next on KCNR Shasta Ready.
News this hour from townhall.com, I'm Michael Harrington. Pope Francis made his first big public appearance in Cuba this morning.
Jesus les hace a sus discípulos.
The Pope leading Mass before a big open-air crowd in Havana. His schedule today in Cuba is busy. It includes a formal meeting with President Raul Castro. The pontiff has already met with Castro's 89-year-old brother, Fidel. Pope Francis arrives in the U.S. later this week. The White House says two Americans held in Yemen have been released today and are in Oman. A spokesman for a New Orleans-based logistics company confirms that employee Scott Darden was one of the men freed. The other has not yet been identified. The White House is thanking the government of Oman for helping secure the release of the detainees. President Obama to welcome Chinese President Xi Jinping to Washington this week. Mr. Obama says he'll have a blunt message about hacking.
Your government or its proxies engaging directly in industrial espionage and stealing trade secrets, stealing proprietary information from companies. That we consider an act of aggression that has to stop.
Tensions are also rising over China's moves to assert itself in the South China Sea. The number of homes destroyed by Northern California's wildfires is now at least 1,400 and growing. Officials say damage assessment teams have counted 888 homes burned in Lake County in just the past 24 hours as they gain access to more burned out areas. Secretary of State John Kerry says the U.S. will accept 85,000 refugees from around the world next year, up from 70,000, and the number will rise to 100,000 in 2017. The migrants, many of them from Syria and other parts of the Middle East, would be referred to the U.S. by the United Nations. More on these stories at townhall.com.
They say every healthy relationship should have a balance of predictability and spontaneity. In fact, it is that assurance of security that makes the spontaneous possible. Your relationship with your car should be a little like that, too. With our industry-leading unlimited mileage warranty, your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz instills a sense of confidence. You drive away knowing that you can keep driving for up to 3 years and never have to worry about the miles. Add to that our complimentary prepaid maintenance on select models, and your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz becomes the ultimate carefree escape vehicle. Only during the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales event, going on now through September 30th, can you receive your first 2 months' payments on us on select models, plus 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. So hurry in today. It might just be the most predictable spur-of-the-moment decision you've ever made.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
A Nigerian military official says public schools are reopening in Borno State in the country's northeast, where the military has finally pushed Boko Haram terrorists out of many cities and towns. A number of schools have been closed for more than 2 years in areas of that state, which had been controlled by Boko Haram. A three-month multinational offensive earlier this year drove Boko Haram out of towns, including Gwozo, which had been headquarters of the group's ISIS caliphate. Egypt's Ministry of the Interior says gunmen have killed a senior police officer in the rest of Sinai Peninsula today. The ministry says Brigadier General Ahmed Mohammed Askar was killed when militants opened fire on him in the northern Sinai city of El Arish. The claim of responsibility is by ISIS, its branch in Egypt, known as Sinai Province of the Islamic State. It's circulating on social media today. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. More arrests in connection to the July escape of the leader of Mexico's Sinaloa drug cartel.
Two former directors of the Altiplano prison and the ex-head of the national prison system are among the latest arrests, according to the country's Attorney General's office. Fellow inmates have been complaining about drilling and digging noises keeping them awake at night. This culminated in a tunnel complete with ventilation and a mini railway system. Seven prison officers were initially arrested for failing to promptly raise the alarm in spite of the fact that Guzman's cell was under closed-circuit television surveillance. An extradition request from the United States less than 2 weeks before his jailbreak was ignored by the Mexican government. James Blair's in Mexico reporting.
Today is Sunday, September 20th, a birthday for some notable people, including actress Sophia Loren. She's 81 years old today. Jazz musician Peter White is 61. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
I'm American.
Well, we made it into the last hour.
Yeah, we're in the third hour. We've been covering a lot of different subjects in the last few hours. And we're back with Janine Kloss, and we're talking about vaccines.
Yes, one of my favorite topics.
Yeah. And you were saying this is actually affecting you personally as well.
Yes, we found out, you know, 8 years ago when my son started receiving vaccinations that they didn't necessarily jive well with his body. And we did lots of different things to try and handle it, but we always got resistance, you know, from the doctors. And eventually we found great doctors, and we've been able to get him great care. He still has lasting issues from the side effects that he had, but, you know, I feel like we've been able to adequately handle that. And now we're seeing, you know, parents who are struggling with the decision to, you know, a lot of them, their kids either have seizures or they have very strong reactions or they've got actual disorders that have stemmed from the process of getting vaccinations. And they're looking at having to continue vaccinations. Like with my son, we stopped giving it to him when he was 3 and a half. We stopped giving him vaccinations because it just kept, you know, causing issues. So for him, he would have to get caught up on the schedule. Other kids who have severe reactions would have to take more. And my perspective on this, when I'm just looking at pure practical, obviously as a parent, I'm furious. But pure practical, this is putting liability on the state of California, because no longer is the parent making a decision about their care for their child. This is creating a situation wherein the state of California is ultimately liable for whatever happens to these kids. The vaccine companies can't be sued.
Yep.
The state of California is now mandating. So this is just a hot mess across the board. It doesn't even make sense, and it's putting people in a very awkward situation. So I'm not sure what we're going to do. I don't have, you know, a plan for how to deal with this problem. I know people say there's a grandfathered clause, but schools are already sending out letters saying that they're kicking students out now before the law's even in effect, and they're completely disregarding the grandfather clause. So I think this is set to be one of the most disruptive, absolutely astronomically catastrophic for families bills that I've ever seen. I don't know how this is going to go down, because people are to their max already. They're working several jobs. Both parents are working. They're trying to just pay their bills, and now their kids can't go to school, and they're getting notices. One of my personal friends got a notice that their child couldn't continue with their homeschool program, and they had a day to get them documentation.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it is. That's a story that I have is out of Siskiyou County. We were up for 4th of July. We were out at Lake Siskiyou waiting for the fireworks out there, and the people tended next to us on the beach there. You know, she saw our State of Jefferson stuff and came over and got talking about the vaccine thing. And her daughter is getting ready to be a senior in high school, has gone through, you know, this with the same class her entire life growing up there. But there's one vaccine that she doesn't take, because when they gave it to her the first time, she had such a horrible allergic reaction to it that the doctor said, do not ever give her this again. There's a high probability that it'll kill her. And the school has informed her she cannot do her senior year at Yreka High School without getting that vaccine.
Unbelievable.
Even after they explained that to them, even after they had the doctor send it in, they basically said, we don't care. The state will not allow your child to finish her senior year with her class.
Let me tell you how you fix that, or at least a way that you can certainly make them very unhappy about that extremely poor decision. Show up to every single one of their school board meetings with 100 people who put in a card for public comment. They will be able to get nothing done, and they will have protesters coming out their ears. It's unacceptable. We cannot tolerate our local enforcers enforcing bad laws. That's why the sheriff, we need constitutional sheriffs. Our participation in the system needs to ramp up to 100%, because what's happening right now is a runaway train, right now it's fixable. You guys go out there to that school and protest until you put so much pressure on them that they choose the people and not the state.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, if you don't shine the light on it, it tends to just continue to creep.
Yeah, and grow.
Yeah.
And grow and happen to more and more people if they don't start making a stance at some point against it.
A lot of these schools are terrified about their funding. You know,
well, guess what? They should be a lot more terrified about not having any students because that's how they get their funding.
I was going to say, exactly. Yeah. They count the heads and then they multiply it out by the dollar amount.
Well, there is a large amount of parents here in the Reading area and the Shasta area that I know for certain it's going to come to a head because they're not going to comply. And
well, you know, here's the thing that is a little bit... One of the things we hear a lot is, well, this doesn't affect me. My children didn't have any problems with vaccinations. I don't have kids. My grandkids are already vaccinated and grown. This affects everybody. Try having a little bit of compassion for your neighbors, for the children in your community who struggle with this. Yes, not every person is going to struggle with it, but just because only, you know, a percentage of the population has severe reactions doesn't mean that those people don't matter. That's a horrible mindset. And they said it on the floor. They, like, don't care if babies die. That's not even a factor for them. Well, it's for the better, you know, the better men of the community. That's not an acceptable answer from a representative for me. You know, we need to band together and say that just because your child didn't have a reaction or your child, you know, doesn't struggle with this, doesn't mean that it's not important to our community and we don't stand up for people.
Well, it's to me, it's absolutely no way, shape, or form anything but about enriching the lead campaign contributors of Dr. Richard Pan and with the other guy's name, Alan, out of L.A., mm-hmm. his brother who runs a government program for vaccinations out of UCLA.
Isn't it funny how those connections start to come together when an issue like this comes to the public eye?
Yeah, they're selling the safety of our children for money.
Well, that's
I couldn't even believe that Sackby did that article.
Oh, yeah, that's... It's interesting to see some of the things that are starting to come out of the Bee. You know, even they can't keep a lid on it for much longer. So
I'm wondering what's going to happen because I just did an interview with a writer on Friday. And he came out and he observed our group and he talked with me and he talked to a couple of our champions out in Sacramento. And I'm wondering what's going to be written because right on the heels of that, we saw the editorial board come and put a complete piece of garbage, you know, in the SAC B from the editorial board. So I can't imagine what this guy is going to be able to get past them. I think that he heard our message, but can he get it past the media beast? I don't know.
Well, that's and another thing that we see starting to be very effective and continuing to grow is the alternative media, too. And what's kind of neat to watch what's starting to happen is you kind of have these lone voices in the wilderness. You know, as an example, Tim Donnelly does his radio show. You know, and then you have someone like Katie Grimes from Flash Report mm-hmm. that has been doing all these things that are starting to amalgamate and kind of come together as a one voice message and actually build an alternative media network amongst everybody. And that's really, really empowering and good to watch because now there is a source to turn to for truth that you're not just being fed tripe.
Absolutely. And we need more of that. What I would urge people to do is when they're in alternative media is be extremely conservative with their assumptions. So I'm an auditor by trade, and when you're doing, you know, a report or you're looking at an organization or you're looking at an issue, you only present what you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Absolutely.
I mean, you need to have that credibility, especially as an alternate news source. And a couple of the people you rattled off are some of my dear friends, and I am so thankful they're out there and that what they present is factual and they could support it, and it's a voice that we need to hear. And we have I think some of it is just controlled opposition where we get this media that's totally outrageous and it's not even stuff that resonates with me. You know, I'm fairly moderate in even though I run the Libertarian Party, I'm fairly moderate, and I don't really go down the rabbit hole on a lot of this stuff. So I really value that kind of media. We don't always see that. And then we see the other side of it where it's completely biased, and we know it's paid off. So when I saw the article about how much money Pan and a couple of these people have gotten from the vaccine industry and the medical community, it's shocking to me. And when we couldn't get the Republican Party to stand up on this issue and to take a stand in California and actually make resolutions, I couldn't figure out why. And then somebody sent me a link to their sponsors for the event that I'm at right now, their GOP convention.
Same people.
They've got the California Medical Association as a sponsor, and you know, the hospital group as a sponsor. And it's like, these people have laid the groundwork, and they've got their fingers, just like you're supposed to do, you know, when you're lobbying. You want to cover all your bases. But the people matter, and their representation matters. And these elected officials need to hear that message. And that's why we're running candidates who have, who aren't mainstream, who aren't in the establishment, who aren't beholden to these organizations. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, we agree. And it's time for the government to start to fear its people again. And,
exactly.
You know, on the base level that they know, hey, if I don't start following the will of my constituents, I'm out of here. You know, I don't get another chance to get it wrong. And, you know, going back to the media part of it, one of the things that I said that you really appreciate is the alternative media, as you said, has to be extremely credible. You know, I myself am part of Shasta Lantern, which is a newspaper that's starting to spread up here in the North State. And, you know, like the SACB, they can get it wrong. They, like you said, they can be biased. They can flat out lie, and they're still going to be the SACB. We only get the option of being wrong once.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So...
Well, and there's a certain part of humbleness that comes in, right? Like, if you just totally, if you're like, man, I just really missed the boat on that, and I'm sorry. You have to have enough faith in people that you can be honest and genuine and that they're not going to reject you. You know, in order to stand up and have a voice, it's really scary anyway. So to have that genuine connection with people, and it really helps when you know people. That's why the representative system works when it's someone from your neighborhood and everybody sort of knows you. Even if it's 30,000 people, it's enough people that you could personally meet with in a campaign cycle. We're at the district I'm in is 180,000 registered voters for the assembly district I'm in.
That's insane.
How are they supposed to meet with everybody?
Yeah, I want representation. I can go to the local high school football game and go, you, right there, I want to talk to you.
Yes, it's the power of peer pressure. Mm-hmm. It's the power of peer pressure, and to know that you have to face those people. These guys hide. They're hidden away. Pan runs to events now because we're at every single event. Sacramento, we've got Sacramento covered. We've got the most amazing teams in place. And we go to his events, and we just sit there and stare at him. We're not rude. We're not, you know, in his face. We're not threatening or anything. We just sit there and stare at him. We wear our T-shirts. We just got our Pan Recall T-shirts. I'm so excited. Basically, we are just letting him know that we see what he's doing, and we're not going away.
And with that, we're going to go to a break, and then we'll keep talking about this on the other side. If you can hang with us, Janine.
Okay.
All right. The number here to call in is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I'll go find a network won't to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from Beer Braised Chicken, Spicy Italian Sausage, to Seared Wild Mushrooms. Try their Smoked Steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with Bottomless Mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202-226-8439. That's 226-8439.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
This Sunday, we welcome Jake McCauley of the Institute on the Constitution, an educational outreach that presents the founders' American view of law and government. IOTC graduates have a full understanding of the biblical principles on which America's founding documents are based. Also, former Vatican Ambassador Francis Rooney will tell us why Pope Francis should focus on saving souls, not the planet. We the People, Sundays noon to 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
Turtle Bay's 9th annual fall plant sale is Saturday, September 26th. Beauty doesn't have to be thirsty. Rethink your garden. Talk with plant experts and shop for drought-tolerant plants, California natives, hard-to-find perennials, grasses, shrubs, trees, and more. On September 26th, Turtle Bay members will get a 30% discount and 20% for non-members. Plus, free gardening advice will be available throughout the day. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Yeah, you do. We've been doing a lot of moving and grooving in the studio this morning with all the different music we've had.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah. But we're back.
We are.
And we do have a guest on the line, so I guess we need to move forward with this vaccine stuff, you know?
Yeah, it does. It gets frustrating.
It gets real frustrating because people don't realize really what they're after with things like this. You know, they make it sound all good to start with, and people don't read between the lines and see what the effect's going to be in the long term.
Once they have
stuff.
The once they have their toe in the door, that's it. You know, and some of the people, we've been getting some comments in the chat room and things like that, and some of the people that don't want to look at the facts. I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but for the life of me, I can't remember. But about a week and a half ago, there was actually a representative went onto the House of Floor Representatives and read from a deposition from a scientist that worked for the CDC that fully admits that the CDC destroyed information and data and changed the numbers on their data set to show smaller proportional amount of problems due to vaccines, and that there is absolutely a tie to autism and these vaccines, but only in certain genetic sets. So they expanded the size of the study using the genetic sets that aren't affected by it to make it look like there was no problem.
Right. And to that, too, I wonder how many people out there realize that the funding for colleges to do experiments and research the product that the pharmaceuticals are going to come out with are all funded by guess who? The pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And you're only paid to find certain results.
Exactly. But they're not skewing any.
I don't know if you've looked at it, but the original MMR vaccine, the insert, had autism listed as a side effect.
Yes,
the side effects are not secret. It's not a controversy. Vaccine shedding is also not a secret controversy or myth. That's something that happens that doctors are supposed to warn you about.
Mm-hmm.
This is a consumer product. We are consumers. We have the right to consume or not consume.
Correct.
Based on how the product performs. We are not cattle. We are not, you know, property of the state. And the last time I checked, every dystopian novel has some sort of mandated injection in it. And I'm thinking about it. Anybody who has any concept of the Constitution or the values that our country was created upon or any kind of concept of freedom could not be for some sort of mandated, universally mandated injections of any kind.
Absolutely.
I don't care what it is.
Absolutely.
That's very true.
And you know,
you're
as you
selling out for the facade of security.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Ben Franklin tried to warn us about that.
Yeah, whose security?
Yeah. And
we had many warnings for the things that are happening in California right now.
Well, and as you said, you know, your doctor's supposed to discuss things like this with you and explain side effects and stuff. And I know one of the last trips that I took to the pediatrician with one of my children, the nurse just came in with a bunch of syringes and was just going to start stabbing my kid and giving her vaccine and going, wait a minute, what are you doing? You know, oh, well, it's time for this and time for that. Well, what's this? What's that? You know, they didn't want to explain anything to me. They just wanted to
just
give
shut
her
up and let
injections
me
and, you know, let it go. And it didn't happen. So.
Well, I have to tell you guys, I had a very disturbing experience. The last vaccination I personally received into my body, I was pregnant with my daughter, who is 4 and a half now, and we were in the beginning of the third trimester, and I went in for, I had dual care. I have midwives, and I had dual care with MD because of some health concerns that I had. And so I'm actually a very cautious person, and I try to get the most applicable medical care I can because I'm very, very particular about my children and my body and the kind of care we receive. So I always consult a spectrum of people. So I go in for my MD and they are like adamant that I have to get the flu shot. And at the time I was still researching vaccinations and I was very much, I knew my son had problems with them, but I believed in the science and all of this stuff. And I go in, and they are just adamant that I have to get this flu vaccination. And I'm like, well, are there any side effects? Does it cross the, you know, placenta? All these questions. Three different people came in and consulted with me. They said there's no side effects. It doesn't cross through to the placenta. There's no risk. This is absolutely something they recommend. This was with Kaiser. And they just went down the line. When I got to the station to get the vaccination, they reassured me of all the same stuff. I get it. Only to find out I got sick as a dog because apparently our genetics don't deal well with the whatever's in the vaccinations. I haven't found out exactly what yet. So I get sick as a dog, and then I find out that it's a Class C. It's not even tested on pregnant women. I'm just blown away that they flat out lied to me. And I'm thinking that was one of the few times, you know, that I put trust in them, and it's because they scared me to death about it. You know, and that happens a lot. So many times that happens, and that's one of the reasons why AB 2109 was actually a really big problem, because they're already in a position of authority. They're already in a position where you're inherently trusting them based on them knowing more than you about these issues. And if they're willing to lie to people, that's already a huge problem. And now we're adding that you don't even have a choice anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what progression of events is going to be scary enough for people to wake up?
That's a good
question. Well, I think this has gone a long way.
I know. I'm so excited.
Yeah. In a way, they've kind of handed us a gift with this thing, because it has woken so many people up to it and the things that are going on. And, you know, the sheer gall of the overreach to think that they could even pull something like this off and, you know, as I say, basically give the finger to the people. It's insane. And, you know, the fact that they've tried to cover up some of the connections and try to lie and distract about some of the issues with the vaccines. You know, and you brought up the flu shot. To me, the flu shot has always been one of the biggest forces that I've ever seen. There's something like 2,600 flavors of flu floating around every season, and they give you a shot for one of them because that's their best guess of what's going to be the prominent flu. And they treat you for the flu by giving you
the flu
that may not even be the flu that you're going to catch later in the season. It's a joke.
And like you said earlier, how many people I know, I've never had a flu shot, won't have one, but people that I do know that have in the past got them, they're the ones that are always sick. It's not anybody else, you know. It's like, really, how'd that work for you, you know? No, thank you. I'll pass that by.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the part that I haven't even really delved into. I actually have a wealth of knowledge on the actual problems with vaccinations, and some people aren't ready to hear it. It's a little bit scary. There's some issues that we have significant questions about the efficacy and effectiveness and actual value of this product. So I didn't delve into that because, you know, that's going to be a very limited amount of the population who's really done enough research to be able to digest that information. My big thing is that those assembly members and those senators, their job is to represent us. Now, I'm very limited government, right? So I wrote a letter to them on the very beginning of this process, and I said, if you do anything, your job is to investigate those companies and find out why we don't have a better product, why our babies are dying, why the SIDS rates are so high in America where we have, like, the best possible medical care. Okay? Tell me why that's happening. You want to do anything? You want to put your fingers in this pot? That's what you do. You don't force me to take a product that hurts my kids or myself. That is unacceptable. You are taking on the liability, and you're forcing California to take on the liability. And how are you representing the people? We have a 98% vaccination rate in California. Tell me again why this is a crucial issue. There is something weird happening. And if you see no other side of this issue, you have to see that their job, if anything, is to represent us, not force us to take a product if we don't want it.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing, too, is even if the vaccines themselves were 100% safe, the delivery mediums that they use, things like formaldehyde, mercury, monkey pus, fetal tissue. I understand there's one that even uses cancer cells as a basis to culture the vaccine. That's insanity.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, if you just look at the ingredients, normal people wouldn't put that stuff in their body if they knew what it was, but nobody asks. We got a comment on one of our boards last night that was like, you really shouldn't even research vaccinations because it's just too scary. You should just do it. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I don't even give my kids like toothpaste that I don't know what every ingredient is. And that's just like something they're brushing their teeth with. You're talking about injecting this into their body and you don't think I should look into it?
Yeah, I would like to see Richard Pan come to my house and then I'm going to tell him, hey, I've got this syringe filled with fetal tissue, cancer cells, formaldehyde, mercury, and monkey pus, and I'm going to shoot it into you and see if you'd let me.
Yeah. Don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
Just take your dose.
You know, here's the big picture on this, and I will be dancing on the rooftops when we recall that man. I am not a fan of his for so many reasons, and I know politics isn't supposed to be personal, but honestly, he's got to be my least favorite politician right now. But the truth is, he is a pawn in a system. As we become more effective in this movement, they will simply sever him off like a polyp that they remove, and that somehow the establishment will be, you know, forgiven for his actions because, oh, he's just a bad dude. All of a sudden controversy will come out again and they'll basically sever him off. And then all of a sudden he will be by himself. And then they'll grow another person in his place who comes in and does very similar things, but with different tactics. And that's the bigger picture, right? We are, you know, offended by his actions. We're offended by who he is and how he represents us. But he is doing a particular function of this establishment.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
so we will rid ourselves of him, but another one will grow where he is.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And, you know, for them to say that there's no effects for vaccines, as you pointed out earlier, the vaccine companies are immune from prosecution and liability.
Yes, they are.
The federal government has already paid out over $3 billion in suits to damages to families that, you know, vaccines have caused harm. So for them to make the argument that there is no danger in vaccine is asinine. They've already paid out $3 million in damages.
Exactly. And you know our government, you know, just randomly pays out damages for no reason. So people like me, I made the choice to vaccinate my son. And when he had issues, I took on that responsibility. And I still, you know, am affected by it every day. Okay? I took that responsibility. I made that choice as a parent. And I did not know enough. I relied on my doctors at the time. And I did not know enough to make that decision for my child. Okay? And he was one of the few, or actually we're learning a lot more than few, who had a bad reaction. Change that scenario to where it's mandated and parents do not have a right to choose, you are going to see a huge increase in the amount of lawsuits, of damages sought from people who have issues. But guess what they also did? They're trying to put caps on how much is your child's life worth? Last I checked, and I haven't looked at it, I don't know if they've amended it, but it was somewhere along the lines of $200,000 that you get if your child dies from vaccinations, and that's if you can prove it, which they have set the standards and the whole scenario against people. You have to move mountains to prove that vaccinations are the cause, even if it's like within a day of getting vaccinations. And then your payout is $200,000. I'm sorry, but my child's life is worth a lot more than $200,000, and I'm ultimately responsible for the choices I make for them.
Well, the ones that get to me, too, when we've got a caller after this.
Yeah, we have a caller.
But one of the ones that hits me is once this information comes out, you know, like the representative a week ago that has said, hey, the CDC lied. Hey, they're lying about these studies. Once the information that comes out that the government has knowledgeably hidden this information, the number of post-mortem cases and suits is going to skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number of people that are going to go back and look at what probably caused the death of their child or the disablement of their child. I think it's going to be astronomical.
Oh, a lot more than people realize. And with that, I believe we have Lori on the line from Reading. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, and thank you for covering a very delicate and fragile topic. This is very interesting for those of us that are adults where we're proposed with having vaccinations because we can't prove, I'm in my 50s, I can't prove every vaccination I've ever had episodically through my life. We don't really typically carry this information, and the boosters and all these other things, and if you have an odd job here and an odd job there, you don't get your records when you move, leave, quit, get fired, all these kinds of things. And so when you start over again, they want you to basically also start over. Well, you can't prove you had this injection. So we're going to give it to you, and there's a double-sided sheet of paper that was passed around at the Tea Party not long ago or at one of the helpful events I've been to, and they have not studied these back-to-back massive vaccines for young infants, toddlers, children, and so they're just the complete experimental guinea pig, because there's no way you could verify and find the contraindications for this with this with this. It's never been studied. So my shout-out to maybe the medical people out there, if you do a follow-up show or invite the locals that are willing to speak or be a guest, is I worked in the medical field in Los Angeles, more in the dermatology field, and oftentimes we get shipments of injectables that were either Botox, collagen. We had other injectables that were just room temp, like your B12 and, you know, steroids and whatnot for allergies. And oftentimes, because freeway traffic was so horrid, we would have shipments that were supposed to be delivered at a certain temperature in little freezer bags. We'd open it, and it would be like room temp, and we'd call. We had to go through all this rigmarole to get a refund, send it back, pick it up, because the temp changed. So my concern with this topic is, do we know if these vaccines are supposed to be ships stored in a certain delicate temperature range, or if they're on airlines that are going through a different altitude change? What does that do to the composition and structure and molecular composition of these chemicals? So there's a lot more to this based on just what I'm listening to from this hour with your wonderful guest. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And I think that you bring up an amazing topic, because I have personal friends and people that I've grown up with who do research to develop vaccinations. And these people work night and day to get this science right. And that's an extraordinary thing. If there's a way to service people in a way in this field, that's the way to do it. Make the product better. Find new ways where not so many people have reactions. Find ways to have that transportation dealt with or make it shelf stable or whatever you can do. One of the things you bring up about the natural tendency for human beings to make mistakes, simply shaking the bottle
Yep.
that it's in is critical, because they put 10 doses in a bottle. So if you suck up the vaccination solution and you don't shake it, the very bottom of that vial will have all the mercury in it, you know, because the mercury is heavy. Stuff like that is just human error. This is the nature of life.
And now they're estimating that a child born now, by the time they reach high school age, will be subject to over 70 different shots for vaccinations.
Oh, yeah. They already have it ready to go next year. It's upping to 73, I believe.
It's insane. They're
and people don't realize, you know, even if you were to choose to have your infant vaccinated, that before the age of 2, there's no way that the body can retain everything like it should, because it's developing. So who knows what areas is going to absorb more or take less, or, you know, the effects of it has actually on the body. So mm-hmm. then you have to vaccinate more and under those circumstances.
And you take a newborn that is basically dependent upon the chemical makeup of its mother's breast milk to develop its antibodies and its
right.
immune system, and you're talking about trying to give a 3-day-old a Hep B shot.
Exactly.
That has no stable immune system.
Right. They're not stable at all.
It's just as if this newborn infant has been a drug user. It's just insane. This is like the geoengineering of our bodies. This is that toxic pollutant, heavy metal, mercury, aluminum, all this crazy chemical nightmare. And this is just back to your depopulation. This is, you put
Correct.
These little kids on devices. You put a baby monitor next to their little head in the bassinet and crib area. This is all just calculated, in my opinion, that this is just another way to just decimate, you know, humans. And it's done because you can't pinpoint, you can't track, you can't make a class action suit. They have these things, you can't sue us. I mean, if that isn't obvious that they're trying to, like, take us out, oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
wow.
I would love to be able to go into business and sell any kind of product I want without the threat of retaliation or liability. Who wouldn't want that?
That's why we always need to balance that. Okay, we have this amazing innovation. We're living in a time of technology that has surpassed any other time, and it's fantastic, and we have so many things available to us. But you always need to balance that with common sense and the right to choose. If I can choose whether, so for example, I went from being totally medicalized, you know, they forced that Hep B on my son when he was born, even though we almost both died in childbirth. They still did it, even though we're, you know, upper middle class white family with no drug use and we tested negative for all these things, that they test for while you're pregnant. They still pushed that on me, and I was practically almost dead. So I succumbed to it, after the fourth person came in and just read me the riot act. And why? I'm not gonna go home, bring my baby home and lay him on a bed of needles. That's not the environment he was going to. So why push that? It begs the question, why are we pushing these things and saying that they're mandatory and saying that you're a bad mother if you don't do them? So I went from that highly medicalized situation to a home birth mom who baby wears and breastfed exclusively, made all my baby food. I run a natural parenting group. This was just through learning that progression of events, of learning why are they invested in me doing it this way, and why when I put up any kind of defense against this method, do they freak out? That makes me wonder. Now, I can't say that I can't prove that all of these factors are lining up to harm people, but I can tell you I certainly have the choice, at least as it stands today, not to participate.
Which everybody should have that choice.
Yeah. Right, and that's what they're trying to remove, is that choice, and that's why this hits people on so many levels.
Yeah, you know, if it was all so great, I don't understand, why don't they educate people more about the health part of it? You know, if it's all so great, why aren't they transparent with everything?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So people can make their choice on their own and decide what is the best. And if it was so good, they wouldn't have any questions. But they don't open book anything on it. You have to dig and hunt, and it takes people like you, Janine, and Lori and stuff, to get the information out there to people so that they may even have a half idea to what is going on.
Well,
you guys, I can't even tell you how freeing this issue has been. I was silent for 8 years, you know, fighting with this on my own. Even within mommy groups, you know, I was attacked for even bringing up the topic of vaccination and even having questions about it. And I think it's rooted in people wanting to make the best decisions for their children. So when they made the decision to vaccinate, if you challenge that, it's deeply rooted that if you're basically saying they may have harmed their child by doing this. So this is the first time the lid has just been blown off this issue. We're seeing it on the national scale. They're talking about it. You have someone like Ben Carson actually acknowledging that there may be a problem with the schedule, even though he didn't come out as firm as I would have liked. You have people like Trump saying, oh, nope, I'm a business guy, and I can tell you I've seen firsthand this happens. You know, Rand Paul, obviously, you know, I adore Rand Paul, and he's out there talking about it. It's a national conversation, and this has never happened. And you have people weeping because they're able to acknowledge that their child is harmed by this. And this is the first time we can talk about it.
Yeah, this is the first time that we have something that actually touches everybody. Usually people can go, oh, well, that will never happen to me. That doesn't, you know, that has nothing to do with me. Who doesn't have kids or grandkids or know somebody, a niece or a nephew or something? You know, we all have that connection to children somehow, some way.
And
that we go ahead.
One of the good things that I see about this is, as Janine brought up very early, is there's such a broad spectrum on this. It's allowing people from diverse groups to get together and conversate with each other and go, hey, we're not that far apart on some of this other stuff, too. What are we arguing about?
Right. Why is there such a problem?
Right. So...
When have you ever seen such a, not extreme. I actually know Tim Donnelly in person, and he's not extreme to me, but publicly he's been portrayed as very extreme. And then a bunch of Democrat moms who have always been Democrat, always voted Democrat, and then the leader of the Libertarian Party here in California, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, come together on this issue. You had people on the floor across the spectrum speaking out against it. The only people who are voting, you know, in our legislature for these bills are the people who are bought and paid for. And by the way, they did me a really big favor of creating a list of people who need to go, who need to get out. Let's replace them with people who are really going to represent.
Yeah, no questions asked. You're just out of here, and we'll find somebody that we need and that will have our best interest at heart put into office.
Yeah. And and one of our chat room people just came up with the guy that I was talking about. It's Florida Congressman Bill Posey. You can go on YouTube and watch his speech where the CDC whistleblower discloses that the CDC was actively engaged in deception about the harm caused by vaccines.
You know, and one of my questions to some of these government officials, if not all of them, is, do you vaccine your kids? Are you, you know, are you exempt from following the law like you are with everything else?
Yeah, it's a curious question. I think some of them do, and I think some of them don't, and it would probably depend on the level and then whether or not they had a personal experience with it. Of some issues, it takes a personal experience for you to really delve into. There are some people who are inherently like, nope, we don't vaccinate, or generations of people who have never been vaccinated.
Right.
But if you're just mainstream and you're just sort of moderate and you're just getting along, and it wouldn't come to your attention unless you had to deal with it, or you knew of a personal story of someone you trusted that had this happen, knew firsthand. I mean, the videos are terrible. If you ever see the videos of the reactions, and
yep.
I mean, this issue is something we could probably talk about for 3 days straight. I mean, it's very in-depth. This bill, in my opinion, was an epic fail because they offended so many people that I can't even keep up with responding to volunteers. I mean, there are so many people who are offended, outraged, and standing up on this.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are critical, to me, it's just background noise. I don't even care. We're moving forward. We'll educate along the way. And if people are open and they want to hear it, they'll hear it. And if they want to fight to the death, they can fight to the death. But you know what? One day, they will come to me and ask for help, and I'll remember.
Yeah. That's a pretty powerful statement.
Yes, it is.
Very true. And, you know, it just, to remove the choice of people in something like that, you know, and for me, a person that does, like yourself, you know, digs into everything and researches stuff, you know, I have a brother that used to work with disabled people. He actually helped write the national curriculum for teaching autistic kids. And if you ask him, he hands down, there's a connection between vaccines and autism. There is no denial of that at all.
Okay, and with that, we have to go to our last break. And then when we get back, if there's, you know, any last thing that you want to get out there, Janine, we'll have to hit it because we're almost into the show. So with that, this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
We'll be right back.
For 24 years, we have celebrated, and now it's time for the 25th Redding Andrea Stillwater Powwow, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Experience dancers, drummers, hand games, drum contests, as well as the history of our land. Proudly sponsored by the Redding Andrea and Wind River Resort and Casino. The 25th Annual Redding Andrea Stillwater Powwow 2015, October 2nd through 4th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream sound bites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
This Sunday, we welcome Jake McCauley of the Institute on the Constitution, an educational outreach that presents the founders' American view of law and government. IOTC graduates have a full understanding of the biblical principles on which America's founding documents are based. Also, former Vatican Ambassador Francis Rooney will tell us why Pope Francis should focus on saving souls, not the planet. We the People, Sundays noon to 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state?
Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I've seen the needle and the damage done, a little part of it in everyone, but every junkie's like a setting sun.
And we're back. We have about 4 minutes or so to go, Janine. So in the last few minutes, what do you message do you want to get out there to the people that we haven't covered, or if we've already covered it? What's your
And we've had a request for contact information for people that want to get involved and help more.
Okay, well, we have an amazing Facebook page. If you search SB 277 Referendum Sacramento, just like that, you should come up with the page. You'll see I'm an admin on the page, and my name is Janine Clough. You can also contact me. My email is janinekloss@gmail.com. So it's JANINEKLOSS@gmail. And if you look up, you know, the Facebook page, you can see the spelling of my name if you missed it. So feel free to contact me. I'm not always very responsive on email because we're running pretty much night and day, and it's gotten down to, I've devolved to texting and Facebook messaging, and I try to check my others folder. Feel free to add me on there. But honestly, the biggest message is we're doing this effort, and people think that the only way you win is by winning the effort. But the truth is, we've already won. We have so many people that are participating, so many people that have come out. People are empowered. They understand now how to address their instituted government. That is the win. That is the value of this movement. We have so many signatures already. We just got numbers in, rolling in rough numbers of about 300,000 at this point, and we're not even done. We've got paid petitioners on the street and thousands of volunteers. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that. I believe we're going to get more than enough signatures. However, the most important thing is that people understand that them participating in this system of government, which is a republic, which is an experiment, is necessary for this to last. You cannot turn your back and assume that other people will run your government. This is a mandatory participatory government system. And it doesn't mean that you have to carry the whole burden. It means that you need to band together with your people and participate. And that's what we've done. So we've already won.
Well, good. And thank you very much
for coming on and sharing the time with us.
Of course. Thank you guys for everything that you do.
And have fun down there at the GOP convention.
In the belly of the beast.
I'm heading back to Sacramento. I'm done with my work here, but it's been fantastic. I love this area. So,
all right. Well, thanks again, and we'll have to have you back in the future and keep us updated to what's going on.
I sure will. Anything you guys need. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And that brings to close another show. And
I know you always wonder, how are you going to cover 3 hours? And then at the end of it, you're kind of going, wow, we still got stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we could still go. And with that, we'll see everybody next week. Be safe out there. And don't forget, the Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at Destiny Fellowship.
Yep.
And this has been KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Keep the sunny side up. See you next Sunday.
KCNR Shasta Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Secretary of State John Kerry says the U.S. will accept 85,000 refugees from around the world next year, up from 70,000, and that number will rise to 100,000 in 2017. The migrants, many of them from Syria, would be referred by the United Nations, screened by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and resettled around America. Croatian police say about 27,000 migrants have entered the country in the past few days, and they're expecting many more to arrive from Serbia. Migrants hoping to reach Western Europe started going through Croatia last Wednesday after Hungary pushed them away from its border with Serbia. On Friday, Croatia had said that it was overwhelmed by the influx and has been sending the migrants to neighboring Slovenia and Hungary. The number of homes destroyed by Northern California wildfires is now at least 1,400. That number is growing. Officials say damage assessment teams have counted 888 homes burned in Lake County as they gain access to more burned out.